Hello, and welcome to another Mindkind Projects podcast. Mindkind Podcasts centre around mental health and well-being, and we talk to clinical experts, holistic therapists, and people we work for and with. We are discussing COVID and how it has shaped our lives and how people have adapted to the various challenges faced in lockdown. We look to explore effects on our well-being, mental health, and support networks. Some discussions take place in our Mindkind podcast studio here in the West Midlands, while others have needed to be over the telephone for COVID safety measures. We fully appreciate that everybody's experiences have been different during the restrictions of lockdown. Some have lost family members and people very close to them. Some people who live alone have had feelings of total isolation and have made use of new technologies to reach out. In this podcast, we talk to a few people about the day-to-day challenges they have faced and hope that listeners will be able to relate to what is said and maybe even have had similar experience. We welcome anybody who would like to take part in future episodes, and we can be contacted via our website at www.themindkindprojects.com, Facebook at Mindkind Projects, or email info@themindkindprojects.com. At the time of recording, we are faced with the new Omicron variant and waiting for news announcements about the possible introduction of restrictions for Christmas and New Year. My name's Russell, and I work with Mindkind Projects. Mindkind Projects CEO is Soraya, and she joins me now on the telephone. Hello, Soraya. How are you?
Hi, Russell. I'm really well, thank you.
This was an idea that we came up with in November, wasn't it? And it's taken us a couple of weeks to pull it together and find people to speak to.
Yeah, I think when we were having a bit of a chat and a laugh, as we do, Russell, we were talking about the fact that whenever you meet someone, you have the obligatory COVID conversation, don't you? So I think we were talking about the fact that actually it is a really important conversation to have, but also to think about how we're feeling about COVID and how it might affect our Christmas this year and all those sorts of things.
Yeah, that's very fair, because when we first discussed it in November, it was almost light at the end of the tunnel that we could see a way out of COVID. And of course, during the last few weeks, we've had this new variant come on, and we're now facing further restrictions and maybe even more restrictions for Christmas. We don't know what the next week's going to bring. So it really is a good time to reflect, I think, with people on how they've coped in lockdown and going forward, I guess.
Yeah, it really is. And thanks to Walsall Council, as we are COVID champions, it's really given us the opportunity to support people, particularly at this scary time when we're thinking that Omicron might now take away that light at the end of the tunnel, and what does that mean for our Christmas? What does that mean for seeing our loved ones? How are we feeling about that? And how are we going to together look at a way forward, particularly for us focusing on our well-being and our mental well-being? So I'm really pleased that we're here, albeit via phone, to have this conversation and to bring some awareness to our COVID support group and our COVID conversations, to give everyone a platform to have a chat about it, really, and to listen in, you know, if you don't want to necessarily talk, but to be able to hear other people and sharing that experience to support one another at this difficult time.
Is Mindkind still running into 2022? The workshops, Thursday.
We are indeed. Yeah. So 2022, we'll be continuing with COVID conversations with yourself, Russell, on a monthly basis. So if anyone is interested in getting involved, we'd love to hear from you. We're also going to be running our COVID support group every Thursday at our community hub on Profit Street. And that's really a place where we can get together, hopefully still in person in 2022. But it allows us to share in our experiences around COVID, and particularly for people who have suffered from COVID, re-entering society and getting, you know, our energy back to take part in social activities can seem really daunting. So doing that in a safe way, but taking on from other people's experiences and how they may have got past it it's really, really useful. And so, you know, I suffered COVID myself right at the beginning of the lockdown, and I found that the support of people around me really helped me to get back on my feet, and that's what it's all about.
So now I'm joined by Tim. Welcome, Tim.
Hello, Russell. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. Just for the benefit of our audience, can you tell me a bit about yourself, Tim?
Well, I'm 30 years of age.
Okay.
Obviously male. Unfortunately, I have autism, diagnosed as Asperger's. Diagnosed since I was 10 years of age. Well, I graduated 8 years ago from Wolverhampton University, video and film production.
Okay. So we've gone through this. Well, we're still going through it to a big degree. We don't know what January is going to bring, but let's look at the, and believe it or not, now it's nearly 2 years.
Nearly 2 years, yes.
So how has Tim, what's been Tim's coping mechanisms through this COVID, these various lockdowns?
Truth is, nobody really does. Nobody really copes to the best of their ability during this. You just try and put on a straight face, and because it's like walking around with a massive bullseye on your back. It's an invisible enemy. What do you do from something you can't see? All you can do is protect yourself. But one thing that annoys me is that if no one else takes it seriously, it makes the situation harder to keep smiling about or to try and protect yourself from. That's my main concern.
So when you use the word smiling, is that sort of an outward persona you're trying to give, an outward feeling of confidence, an outward feeling that you are coping with this?
Well, let's just say I don't want to say anything that goes around in my head because it doesn't feel very appropriate.
Okay.
A lot of bad language, so I'm not going to say that at all. So I just keep it to myself and keep smiling. Luckily, I haven't gone mad. And anybody yet, but it probably will end up happening eventually.
Do you have coping mechanisms in place?
Well, the one thing which would tip me over the edge is if family members were to start dying from this. That would be the main thing which would start tipping me over the edge. Look, I've lost loved ones to this. So I'm not going to stand by idly anymore, keep smiling about this due to my personal circumstances. Firstly, you clearly don't care about yourself. You clearly don't care about me. And people like you obviously don't care about my people in my family and friends.
So this, I'm getting the feeling from this that this is people you're seeing out and about that for example, might not be wearing masks or may not be, in your opinion, may not be taking this as serious as you feel they should.
Yeah, everywhere. Like, you know, people wearing masks, falling off their face, you know, not wearing them all together, like the disease, like fear is like a disease itself. But when it's a pandemic, people have a right to be scared. So when somebody says to me that nothing spreads like fear, well, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I will be scared, if you don't mind. I think everybody else should be scared.
But I was really going to explore what Tim was like before second jab, third jab, well-being wise, and how you felt after the jab. Did you feel did your approach or your feelings differ after having had the jab?
Well, I felt better after the second jab because, well, two is better than one, isn't it? But it kind of, when you have all these, like, you know, anti-lockdown protests, anti-vaxxers, it's like we're all in this together. Like, you're not exactly making this easy. You know, you have all people who say, like, I wish I got the jab now. Say, yeah, it's not a lie. You should have got the jab. And you're saying it from your hospital bed while hooked up to a ventilator or hooked up to a massive breathing apparatus. It's like, well, we're all in this together. That's what I've been telling you for absolutely ages.
And who are these people you're telling this to?
Joe Public.
Well, when you say Joe Public, you're is it... people you're working with or people you're on public transport with or people
you get? It's that type of conversation you have with yourself. Like, you know, like I've been telling people this for absolutely ages, you know, when you see it on TV for the news and you hear in conversations, like whether it be on the bus or the tram or in the street, and you're like, yeah, well, I've been telling people that for absolutely ages, but I'll just talk to myself, shall I?
Yeah. How do you keep your well-being in check?
Well, movies, funnily enough.
Okay.
Yeah, because maybe I should watch a few more things which help me escape more, because I tend to watch things which are a bit more serious, which I shouldn't do.
Yeah, well, do you have any particular favourite type of movies?
I tend to watch stuff which, what I can relate to, what goes on in the world, because if you can relate to it, you can engage with it. And I'm, which helps if the film's good, what you're watching, but mainly it has to relate. I have to be able to relate to it.
But what I'd like to do, Tim, if it's okay with you, because we're sitting here in middle of December, just before you came in, I was listening to an announcement on Absolute Radio, funnily enough, and it was saying that there's meetings taking place looking at what possible things are going to happen in January. And I want to do this again mid-January. So it may well be that we're in lockdown. I don't, you know, who knows? But if we are, then we can do it over the telephone. But I'd like to think we could chat again in January and maybe explore how Christmas has gone and where we are going forward.
Yeah, we could do that, yeah. I'd love to, yes.
I have with me Alison. And hello, Alison.
Hello.
And you are the mother to a three-year-old son, I understand.
Yes.
So this is a three-year-old who's most of his life will have been in lockdown and...
Yeah, he hasn't really been able to meet other children or go to playgroups or anything like that. So it's been hard with the social...
So have you had any support with his social skills?
Yeah, we've done really well. We've been put in touch with a few different organisations that have been helping with his skills and help towards getting him into school and nursery, which, fingers crossed, he should be starting January.
Oh, so that's just after Christmas then?
Just after Christmas, yes.
So have you got his uniform and everything?
Yes, we've managed to get it. Just got to convince him to put it on now.
Okay. Now, we were talking earlier before we started recording about the very early days of lockdown, and your son had a bit of a challenge at that time. Just was he one or just before he became one?
Just before his first birthday. Done a normal visit to the dentist to find out that he'd got some issues and he needed a couple of teeth removing. But obviously, with COVID, he was the first one in our family that suddenly had to have a PCR test. But luckily, the nurses came out to the house 2 days before his surgery and I had to sit him on my lap. And although it was uncomfortable for me because I had to hold him down, it was quick and easy, luckily. The nurses was great, did his PCR test, came back negative and off he went for his surgery.
So this dental work needed to go under an anaesthetic or go to a dental hospital then?
Yes, he had to go to the local hospital to have the teeth removed under sedation.
And in order to pass that, he had to be proved to be COVID free.
Yes, yeah. If we didn't take the PCR test, he wasn't going to be allowed to have the surgery, unfortunately, because it wasn't safe.
Now, this must have been in the very early days before lateral flows and the they've become routine, and some people are doing them twice a day now. So this must have been a completely new to you.
Yes, it was. As I say, he was the first one in the family to have it because they was only doing them at that time at hospital, mainly if you was going in or you was already sick. So I didn't know what to expect when the nurses turned up to do it for him.
And that was done within the house, was it?
Yeah, within the house, because it was a child. They send specialist nurses out to do it to try and keep it as friendly as possible for the child.
Well, that's did he come through the dental work fine?
Yes, brilliantly. He actually celebrated his birthday the day after it, so...
Oh, wow. I don't know where to go from there. Let's just stop. Is that okay? You happy?
Yeah. I suppose it's the other bit, going back to him starting school, and can we see how he gets on?
Yeah. Well, what a brave little lad that must have been. And family-wise, I can imagine the challenge of having to go through all that and see it and witness your young child having to, presumably that in those days it was still up the nose and throat.
It was both, yes.
So that's a real challenge. A challenge for anybody, but to be held down and have that done. So thank you for sharing that with us. So, as you say, he starts school next month, just after Christmas.
Just after Christmas, yes.
Well, and that's nursery, is it, half hour?
It's nursery. He'll be in mornings with a lot of children that he's never dealt with before, so it's going to be interesting.
And I presume adults as well, because if he's been in lockdown with the family, I presume he's a very small circle of friends and people he's seen.
Yeah, he gets very scared around strangers, so adults and children. But we've been lucky because they're going to have him into school early, so he's the first in, so fingers crossed it should be a bit easier for him.
Well, thank you for sharing that with us. Hopefully, if it's okay with you, we can catch up with you sort of mid to end January when we do episode 2 and find out the journey that your son's had with his introduction to nursery schooling.
Yeah, that'd be brilliant. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Enjoy your Christmas.
And you.
So I'm joined by John on the telephone again because of COVID restrictions and that. So hello, John.
Hello there.
Now, I'm interested, John, because I know you through the work that you do in the community for various animal rescue societies or groups, or however you want to class them. How did that affect you during COVID?
We were all very worried before COVID, or sort of thing, the run-up to COVID, because of the, you know, the restrictions coming in, how many volunteers you could have on site, and all the cleansing facilities, and you know, it was all the new rigmarole that you had to work around. So there was less volunteers that were able to be on site, and it was just trying to work out, so in your own brain, how this is going to work for yourself, trying to protect your family as well as helping the community along to, you know, stay together and, you know, keep things moving along.
Yeah, I see that's a valid point, because not only your own well-being of your mental approach to lockdown and COVID, but you'd also got the added pressures of the animals that you're helping look after.
That's right, yeah, because, I mean, all because you're in lockdown or whatever, or because you're in a pandemic, doesn't mean that the animal's situation stops. A bit like homelessness, it just carries on, you know. So you know, people do buy, well, or did buy more animals to help them during COVID, you know, for company, etc., because of well-being and stuff like that, because of isolation, etc.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. That is, I did read that. A lot of families were, there's an increase in dog ownership, for example, and maybe even cat ownership. Yeah.
Yeah. Animal ownership, I think, went up. And then because everyone went back to the office and stuff like that, there was a slight increase in homelessness of animals and rehoming, you know, so the shelters become busy again. You know, you weren't able to raise money in shops. You weren't able to fundraise as easy as you normally would. So then you have to rely on more donations coming in by alternatives like, you know, the internet, etc.
Yeah, that's a very valid point. How about in yourself, John? How did you, have you had all your jabs?
Yeah, I've had the my second one. I was a bit apprehensive about having the first one because of the, you know, all the information that was going around at the time. You know, it was a rushed vaccine, etc. But I had the first one, no problem to it. The second one I went and had, and the only thing I had with that was a little bit of an aching arm.
But did you, having had the vaccines, did you feel more confident when you were out and about, having to go to shops and places, or did it not really have any bearing on your...
No, it gave you more confidence that, everyone was having the vaccine, so you felt more confident that you could, be with people a bit more, but, you were still under the restrictions sort of thing. When they kept changing, it was 1 minute wearing a mask, then it was social distancing, etc. But, you just hope that everyone pulling together by having the vaccine, it'll get you to the end point quicker.
Yeah, well said. Yeah, well said. Well, thank you very much for that insight, especially on the animal side of things, something I hadn't really considered. So I hope everything's going well for your Christmas break, and hopefully there's still light at the end of the tunnel. We're not quite sure what this new variant's going to bring us and any further restrictions, but I do appreciate the time that you've given us this afternoon, and hopefully we can catch up in January and see how things are progressing.
Yeah, absolutely, no problem.
Thanks again then, John. Have a good Christmas.
And you too. Take care.
Right, I'm now going to be talking to Natalie on the telephone. So hello, Natalie.
Hi, Russell, you all right?
Yeah, I'm good. Getting ready for Christmas and getting all things sorted.
But, and me. I've got loads to do.
Well, thank you for taking the time. Yeah. Well, yes, you've got two children, haven't you? What ages are your children?
Yeah, they're 3 and 6, nearly 7 in March.
Oh, wow. So they'll be all excited about next week and getting ready for Christmas then.
Oh, yeah, definitely. They're so excited. Got loads for them, so... Yeah, just finished wrapping, so everything's prepared now. It's just all in the loft.
Yeah, and we're just in that awful situation where we don't know if there's going to be any regulations or restrictions put in place for Christmas and the New Year, but we hold our breath and we are where we are.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
I hope you don't mind me touching on this, but I know you've had a challenging time during the previous lockdown in the last few months. Do you mind touching on that for us?
Yeah, just that I was meant to start having pre-surgery tests for epilepsy surgery, and then just as I was about to have all the MRIs and all the different tests, lockdown happened, so it delayed everything basically. So there's been massive long gaps between all my tests. I didn't know when it was going to happen. Everything was all confused. No one really knew what they were doing, which isn't their fault. I mean, the NHS is under a lot of strain. But everything was held up, and I still don't know when my surgery is going to be. But I got a few tests done in the end, but then I had to do a test at home, which I wouldn't usually have to do as well. Where I had to video myself with EEG wires on. It's called a home EEG instead of going to be an inpatient. So that was quite hard because of the back and forth into the hospital as well. When usually you'd be in the hospital bed, there'd be a camera on the ceiling looking down at you, so you wouldn't have the responsibility of that. And also you'd be there so they can check the wires are working, the camera's working and everything like that. But with me, I had to go and have the wires on on an outpatient appointment, take the cameras home with me, set it all up myself. I had to stay in bed for 4 days with it pointing at me. But then every day I had to go up to the hospital again with it all on just so they could check. And this is all because they didn't have enough. They just didn't have enough staff to monitor me because you're meant to be took off your medication as well to induce a seizure. So they couldn't even do that. So it happened that I never even had a seizure at home, but they couldn't do it because they didn't have enough staff in to monitor me while they took me off my medication. So instead of being an inpatient, having all the medical team around me and them inducing me off my medication and being supervised 24/7, I had to have it at home. I weren't took on any of my I weren't took off any of my medication because obviously there wasn't a team around me to supervise it. So in the end, I did all that for nothing really because I think they didn't capture a seizure. But if there was enough medical team around me in the hospital, I could have had it done in the hospital. But they said there's just not enough medical team in there, staff in there to monitor you, to take you off your meds because you'll have a seizure and there wouldn't be enough medical people around you, so that's why I had it done at home.
Wow.
In the end, so yeah.
I mean, we all know the challenges the NHS are under and the bed space and that, but that must have been an added strain to you, not only trying to manage the illness, but also having to learn all this technology and all the back and forth with the. So how has Natalie kept herself strong through all this? Because clearly you've got to be strong for your family. And who have you turned to talk to about it? Or
I just try and focus on as much on, you know, my kids and my motivation a lot. Most days, you know, it keeps you going, even on the really down days, that, you know, you have to keep going for your kids. But then I started a vlog as well, which helped me focus on something, because, you know, I'm a stay-at-home mum at the moment. I'm not well as well. So I needed something to sort of motivate me and have something to focus on, something positive to focus on. So I thought in lockdown, the best thing I could do is start an epilepsy vlog while I was waiting for my surgery and vlog all the tests as they come. And in between the tests then, I've got something to focus on until the next test. So every time I had a test done, I vlogged it. So like, for instance, my video EEG, I vlogged every day, all 4 days, the wires on my head, and just went into great detail so I can help other people that are going through it. So that was really my focus. And then obviously I applied for that pageant, and I've got that to look forward to this year because I applied for it last year.
Well, let's just stop there, because that's great. What is the pageant? Can you let our listeners know what the pageant is?
Yeah, it's Mrs. Galaxy pageant. It's obviously for my age group. So that's something as well that I can focus on. And do that. So it just things like that. I just have to motivate myself to do positive things, and that's another thing that I'm really excited to do this year. In November.
Is the pageant, is that working on things in the community, or is it?
Yeah. I was in the paper actually, the Gazette, our local Gazette, saying I'm going to get stuck in the community, and you have to do like fundraising and, you know, as much good as you can really, and just help out. And it's a really good way to motivate me as well, using my title as Mrs. Warwickshire Galaxy to do good. So it's not just about your looks anymore. It's about actually doing good things and being a good person, not just good looks. You know, it's just, it's giving me something else to focus on, and I want to prove that you can be poorly and have, you know, hopefully I might even have my brain surgery by the time I have to do the pageant, wow. The grand final pageant. So I want to prove that you can be poorly and still, you know, look okay, and you can do stuff like a pageant, even though I'm, you know, quite poorly, and a lot of the days I have to fight for every day because I'm so tired. You just have to push through it, and I'm just trying to prove that you can do things. The people out there who've got disabilities themselves, you know, you can do it. Don't give up. Keep fighting. Don't let it beat you.
How do we listen to the blog? Is there a link you can give us?
So, yes, it's Natalie Rigby, Epilepsy Queen, on YouTube. And I've also on Instagram, it is Mrs. Warwickshire 21. Okay. And that's my page on Instagram as well, which I put my blog videos on as well.
Okay. Just popping back before we finish on the COVID side, have you had your jabs? And if you have, how did that make you feel?
Yeah, the first jab, obviously everyone was asking on the support group, you know, I did a video on this as well, is it okay with epilepsy? But yeah, I had my first jab and I felt a bit hot and icy with that jab. No seizures, luckily. The second jab, I didn't feel a thing. And the third jab, I didn't feel a thing. So for anyone out there who's worried about that, you know, I was fine personally. And I'm glad I've had it because, you know, I'd rather have that bit of protection than have none at all.
We'll certainly listen into the blog, and hopefully we can catch up with you when we do another one of these in January or February next year, and just catch up on how things are going.
But yeah, that'd be great. And I'll tell you about my singing as well, because that's another thing that gets me through my days. So concentrating on my singing, because I love singing.
It's only fitting to finish this first episode with a further phone call to Saraya. Are you there, Saraya?
I am.
That's we plan to do these once a month now, don't we? The next one's scheduled for middle of January.
It is indeed, Russell. So these podcasts will run alongside our COVID support group and allow people who can't come in person to listen into that conversation.
Well, thank you, and we'll speak again in January.
Thanks so much, Russell. Looking forward to seeing you in the new year.
Yeah, have a lovely Christmas and keep safe.
And you, take care.
To contact the MindKind Projects or to find out more about the MindKind Projects, please visit the Facebook page at facebook.com/MindKindProjects, the website www.themindkindprojects.com, or email us at info@themindkindprojects.com.